Welcome to another edition of the Dementia Care Partner Talk Show. Now, here's dementia care expert Tipa Snow and your host, Greg Phelps.
Do you live outside the continental United States? Well, in 2024, Tipa Snow and members of the Positive Approach to Care team will be hosting events in Australia, Hawaii, Malaysia, the United Kingdom, and more. You don't want to miss seeing Tipa live, so to see if she's coming to a city near you, visit www.tipasnow.info/world and select your location. We hope to see you there.
Hello and welcome to Tipa Snow's Dementia Care Partners podcast. I'm your host, Greg Phelps, and joining me as usual is Tipa Snow. And Tipa, our topic today is one that caught me by surprise. So here goes. How often do you pick your nose? Your answer may determine your risk of Alzheimer's, warns a new study. I'm not going to identify the network other than to say it's one of the major, it's not one of the major ones. Did I get you with that one, Tipa, or had you heard that one before?
I actually saw that thing. Yeah, I actually read it just to see what actually it said, because it was like, oh boy. Yeah. Well, I mean, Greg, you got that one, but you missed this morning that air pollution increases your risk of getting dementia.
Really?
So there you go, picking your nose or being in a polluted environment. You can pick your poison here.
So why do we put out studies that don't really seem to have much foundation? Because really it should say that life is the leading cause of dementia.
Living where you live, doing what you do. Yeah, I mean, if you don't live, you don't need to worry about getting dementia. If you do, there are habits that you can develop that could possibly, but there are environments you can live in, there are behaviors, there are viruses you're exposed to that could increase your risk, herpes, you know? So it's like, so what do? Try to cotton wool yourself? It's like, well, I mean, life happens, so... You know, it's that thing where it's like, yeah, so I keep this from happening and then this happens and then I can't keep that from happening. So I end up with it anyway. So what does it mean? And I think what it means is it's things people could worry about. I mean, I'm sure, did your mother ever tell you don't pick your nose, Greg?
Maybe frequently.
Was it because she was worried about you developing dementia?
No, I think it was because it was kind of gross. I think that's more what it was.
You know, and what it is snot is your body's way of trying to get rid of little particles, and it produces a solution, a sort of a slime that's meant to get rid of it. Just like in our mouth, we have saliva, we have snot. I mean, the goal is to have it not go all the way in the system. I mean, that's, and so you sneeze or you blow your nose or you, I guess you could pick it. I mean, it's kind of interesting because what you do is you pick it out and then you're sort of testing the texture, the taste. I mean, it's that kind of thing, I think. Kids do it all the time. And, you know, frankly, you know, you get a crusty thing. It's like, ooh, let me get rid of that. But it's like picking your nose versus picking and eating. I don't know.
So do studies like this delegitimize proper research? Because there somewhere out there is good information in some of the studies that are released. We know that some things are bad for us and that we should quit doing them and we should sort of look for the good things and try and do more of them.
Well, I mean, I think we figured out that what we put in matters, you know, into the system. So like do too much glucose. I mean, we have identified that high boosts of glucose over long periods of time are probably not the best thing to do for your brain or your body. So, you know, all right. So, you know, Greg's drinking coffee now. So, Greg, you know, a little caffeine's good, but a lot of caffeine might be too much. I mean, I think that's one of the risks of these kind of sensationalizing kinds of thing. It's like, well, so never pick your nose? Well, we don't know that. We don't know how much picking of your nose is okay and how much is too much. And we don't know, you know, there's so many variables. It's like if you spend your time obsessing about all the studies and all the risks and all the details, I mean, you're wasting a lot of life energy worrying about something truly. I mean, so picking your nose at five and eating your boogers is not good for you. Well, for lots of reasons.
I just had this flashback of my mother turning to me in a car saying, don't pick your nose, you're going to get dementia. I don't think she ever said that to me.
I'm pretty sure. What she said is, if you do that one more time, honestly, Greg, just use a Kleenex. Quit. Oh, my heavens. Where's your handkerchief? What'd you do with your handkerchief?
So where can people go to find legitimate information? Mm-hmm. Or does that really matter at a certain point? Because I think most of the people that we're talking to are trying to find help for dealing with a situation. Something like that study just drives us totally in the ditch. And, you know, well, I can't stop picking my nose now, you know.
Right. So you're going to be keep hitting the hand of the person living with dementia who's picking their nose and eating their boogers. I mean, if that's happening, how about you engage them in doing something? How about if you look, try some hand under hand guidance and see what else you can get going on? I mean, I would agree that looking back with, oh, I wish I'd said something about her picking her nose. I mean, what are you going to do? It's that kind of thing. But I'd also say, wow. Air pollution, those tiny particles can transition, huh? Yikes. Okay. So big question for you. Let me go with my study versus your study, which is, does it have potential impact when we think about why there might be a higher incidence of dementia, people living in congested areas with high, you know, auto emission and particulate matter in the air, which is where this study looked at Japan, and they did another one recently, looked at Atlanta, where populations were really crowded into spaces with a lot of auto pollution or particulate pollution in Japan. And the rates of dementia were quite high compared to neighboring areas where they weren't. And they did try to adjust for other factors. So does that have an impact on future behavior? Not on the person who's, you know, maybe stuck in that situation right now, but could it make a difference in policy, in sort of trying to look forward into disparities in health, which is a different kind of question. It's a different audience. It's a different issue. And somehow picking your nose and eating boogers doesn't sort of fit that scheme for me.
Interesting that you mention particulate matter, because in the Coachella Valley, California, mm-hmm. where we are at the moment, we've been experiencing some severe dust storms recently, and it's not the old sandstorms. Now it's this microparticulate, and you go outside, look at the windshield in the morning, and it's just covered with dust. You start thinking, I'm breathing that. So this is a fairly new problem.
It is. And burning plastics has also come up as a disparity, because where we burn, where they have burning of plastic kind of thing, it's always been placed in less desirable locations. But when you're hunting for food and you're seeking whatever you can find, those communities position themselves next to those resources, what we would call a dump. But that's where you find what you need to build your house, to do your living. And so it is scary. I mean, it is. So now we're going to have more brain change in those areas. And we already have few resources devoted in there. So what are we going to do? You know, and that's where, to me, those kinds of studies inform us in a big picture kind of way, not in the what am I going to do with my mom this afternoon kind of thing. But if I'm the one taking care of mom and we're living in one of these areas, now you've given me an added thing to worry about. Not that I have the funds or the resources to change it. So I hope somebody out there is looking at us and going, hey, is there anything we could come up with that might be helpful? And so we might look back at masking. Oh, really? No, there's got to be another solution other than individual blockage. And it is frustrating, in for me anyway, looking at sort of some of the big pictures and the small detail. And then we hear these off to the edges stuff where you're like, really? This is what we're focusing on.
So our podcast today has been all over the map. But what we're basically saying is that you don't even bother sometimes separating the wheat from the chaff. If you're dealing with a person living with dementia, you probably want to go to a legitimate source like your website and try and find some helpful information, because looking back, does not help at all with this disease.
No, and trying to fix somebody at the last moment, if it is a habit and it is something you're doing, let it go. Because there are so many other things. And if you want to do something about it, do it in a proactive sort of supportive way rather than Greg, what I tell you, he's not a kid in the back seat anymore. He may be your husband, your dad, or a good friend, but learning the art of supporting someone through this condition is where we are right now.
Tipa, thank you very much.
Thank you, Greg.
You've been listening to the Dementia Care Partners podcast. For more information, go to tipasnow.com.
Hi, I'm Tipa Snow, and you just found our YouTube channel and watched one of our videos. I'm the owner and founder of Positive Approach to Care. Thanks for watching. And if you liked, if you have a comment about, or you would, please share it with people you know. Oh, and if you haven't yet done it, consider subscribing. We'll let you know when the next new video comes out. And you might want to visit our website, www.tipasnow.com, where you'll find other resources as well. See you there.